It's funny when you think about it. The way that numbers and statistics tend to be subjective, depending on the subject matter. 1,500, for example, might not sound like a lot when considering the number of, say, limited edition sneakers currently being sold by Nike. On the other hand, that number might sound a lot larger if it represented how many people would be attending your high school graduation. Let me give you another, somewhat more extreme example. 1,500, at least as an estimate, represents the number of shipwrecks that have occurred on the Great Lake Erie. Let that sink in for a moment. 1,500 ships, many of which carried crews of a dozen or more, have been lost to this lake's icy depths. Of course, that may not sound like much on a global scale, considering that there are roughly 100,000 vessels currently sailing across the globe. But given that Erie is the smallest and shallowest Great Lake, that number becomes a lot more haunting. So they say, Lake Erie is the most deadly of all the Great Lakes. And over the last century or so, many mariners have pondered why. Could it be that its murky waters are far too shallow for ships of such magnitude? Or is it possible that something darker is lurking through its tides? Well, I guess there's really only one way to know for sure. So if you're feeling brave enough, let's dive deeper into this haunt to see if Lake Erie truly lives up to its name. I'm Courtney Hayes, and you're listening to Haunts. Stay tuned. To be completely honest, I was surprised to discover that Lake Erie has a long and somewhat complicated history. From a geological standpoint, the Lake Erie Basin dates back roughly 1 million years, being subject to erosion from glacial ice and rivers over the course of several millennia. Of course, since the most recent ice age, the Great Lake Basins have changed a great deal in size and shape. But in its current form, Lake Erie is just about 4,000 years old. Now, over the last year or so, we've discussed a few different theories pertaining to water in the paranormal, specifically focusing on the idea that water can act like a battery to charge ghostly activity. Obviously, this is not to say that every body of water is haunted. Nor does it mean that Lake Erie's otherworldly legends are the result of its churning tides. But it does make you wonder what might be hiding in waters as old as these. In a more modern setting, Lake Erie significantly influences the local economy and biodiversity. In fact, on an annual basis, it generates billions in tourism revenue, drawing countless visitors eager to observe the diverse bird species migrating to its shores. In other words, Lake Erie is quite popular amongst locals, tourists, even wildlife. And yet, not many are aware of the dangers that are hiding just below the surface. I think it's pretty safe to assume that most of us have heard of the Bermuda Triangle, or rather, the legendary geographical region out in the North Atlantic, known for unexplained disappearances of ships, planes, and people. Truth be told, that haunt could likely be an episode in and of itself, so I won't go into too much detail on that end. But what I will say is that, speaking from personal experience, the Bermuda Triangle's reputation is a bit blown out of proportion. I mean, there's no denying that a large number of disappearances have come out of the Bermuda Triangle, and that fact alone is a tragedy. But as someone who spent many summer nights throughout their childhood in South Florida, often cruising through the waters of this would-be danger zone in nothing more than a small fishing boat, I can honestly say that this area is far more peaceful than you might think. Still, that doesn't change the fact that mariners from far and wide harbor a healthy dose of fear in the Bermuda Triangle. And supposedly, the same could also be said for another apparent watery zone of death. You see, spanning across roughly 105 square miles, Lake Erie boasts its own mysterious triangle that's notorious for unexplained happenings. Between drownings, shipwrecks, even a few eerily bizarre plane crashes, it's no wonder why this region is feared almost as much as its sister out in the North Atlantic. One story that comes to mind unfolded back in 1959 when Ellsworth Dietrich, a graduate of Sandusky High School, was flying over Lake Erie in a small mail carrier plane. At least at first, conditions were relatively clear, but as he approached the Lake Erie Triangle, a thick fog rolled in, causing the experienced pilot to crash into the frigid waters down below. A similar incident occurred on the water surface in the summer of 1985. On the day in question, a family of four was sailing off the coast of Kelly's Island, the easternmost point of this triangle, when, once again, a thick fog rolled in. Being experienced sailors, the family felt they could handle the quickly changing conditions, so they forged on in their trek back to the mainland. From there, what should have been a 15-minute trip turned into a grueling expedition when the family discovered that they were traveling in circles under cover of this heavy fog. Their electrical system was down, their compass was spinning like a top. In other words, they were quite literally going nowhere. Now, as it would seem, electrical issues and disorientation are somewhat par for the course in the Lake Erie Triangle. In fact, some boaters have reported malfunctioning GPS systems, while others have cited a sense of otherworldly confusion, the likes of which have claimed the lives of numerous highly experienced mariners, many of whom might still be lurking out on Lake Erie. Come into the water, love, dance beneath the waves, where dwell the bones of sailor lads inside my saffron caves. This is the song of the storm hag, or rather a siren-like entity that is said to haunt the waters of Lake Erie, luring unsuspecting sailors to their own demise in the tune of this haunting melody. According to legend, at least, the storm hag is demonic in nature, complete with sickly green skin and sharp, venomous claws. She has razor-like teeth and glowing yellow eyes that can supposedly cut through even the darkest of nights. Beyond that, her song is thought to call in the wrath of Mother Nature, sometimes causing the swell of tides, other times conjuring the perfect storm. As she wails, sailors all across the lake will become transfixed by the power of the storm hag. And all the while, the waters around them grow even more choppy and dangerous. Then, before all is said and done, their ship is sinking into the depths of Lake Erie, never to be seen again. Now, at least according to one of my sources, the legend of the storm hag dates back to the mid-1700s. And in light of that, I'm sure that most of you are thinking that this story is nothing more than a bit of local lore. I'll admit, I'm right there with you. Although I will say that there are some documented encounters that might just lend some credence to the legend itself. For instance, back in 1782, a ship was caught in an unforgiving storm out on the lake. For well over an hour, the crew clung desperately to the ship for dear life while the storm raged on around them. As it turned out, the ship itself wasn't too far from Presque Isle. So by the time the storm cleared, the vessel was within earshot of the island. Of course, that wasn't so much a blessing as it was a curse. Because apparently, everyone on the island was forced to listen as the sailors screamed and cried out in agony. That is, until the ship was finally pulled below the surface, with the witnesses on Presque Isle claiming that the storm hag had been to blame. I think it's safe to say that sailing and superstition go hand in hand. So really, it only makes sense that the misfortunes of Lake Erie would be connected to their own bad omens. Those omens, of course, are bona fide haunts in their own rights. Although I should mention that the story behind them is unimaginably grim and unforgivably cruel. So if you'd like to skip ahead a bit, now's the time. It was the 1860s when a now nameless ship was cruising down the Welland Canal toward Lake Erie. They were somewhere between lock number 7 and lock number 8. When the ship's mascot, a black Newfoundland dog, was knocked overboard. Callously, the crewmen aboard the ship gazed down at their own dog, laughing as it floundered in the choppy waters. And all the while, this would-be beloved mascot struggled to keep up with the ship. Like I said, it's a vile and heart-wrenching tale, one that I pray is more fictional than it is factual. But according to legend, at least, this poor dog was crushed by the weight of the locking gate. Then, only hours after this horrific incident, strange things began to happen aboard the ship. The crew, for instance, would hear disembodied howling, along with the sound of claws clicking across the deck. Today, the name of this ship, of course, has been lost in time. But the legend of Lake Erie's Black Dog lives on as a warning for sailors who might be caught out in rough waters. So the story goes, this phantom hound has the tendency to appear aboard ships just as they're about to encounter serious misfortune. Back in November of 1881, for instance, a schooner called the Mary Jane was lost in a storm out on the lake. Apart from a few wood panels that washed up on shore, the Mary Jane and its 8-man crew were never found. So of course, we can't say for certain what happened aboard the ship during its final hours. But what we do know for sure is that the dock workers who loaded cargo onto the Mary Jane only hours before later reported seeing a large black dog aboard the ship. Oh, and apparently, this dog had eyes that glowed red like burning coal. So by now, I think it's pretty obvious that Lake Erie is swarming with chilling legends and ghostly lore. Although I'll be the first to admit that more than a handful of these stories do seem a bit far-fetched. I mean, it's a fun little idea, the alleged connection between Lake Erie's dark history and the paranormal. But that doesn't change the fact that a lake of this magnitude is going to be dangerous by default, which means that more than likely, ghosts are not to blame. Still, there are some who not only believe, but have made a living out of documenting these supposed haunts. So, as we end today's episode, I'd like to share one final story that might just prove these claims once and for all. Dave Sanford of London, Ontario, is a professional photographer who's been shooting around the Great Lakes for 20 years. Before that, he grew up only a half hour from Lake Erie, and as you'd expect, he's no stranger to its ghost stories. In his professional life, Davis photographed the picturesque scenery of Lake Erie, with a particular focus on its churning tides. More often than not, his pictures showcase the unforgiving power behind these waves, but every so often, a photo will document something a bit more eerie. You see, in several of Dave Sanford's photographs, faces appear just beneath the water. Somewhere in the middle of the rising swell, these ghostly shapes stare straight into the camera, often displaying a distressed sort of expression. In Dave's opinion, at least, these scowling faces are that of the countless souls lost to Lake Erie. It's almost as if they're trying to escape, but can't quite break through the surface. And so they are left in agony, doomed to drown in these frigid waters. And no one would even know they were there if it weren't for Dave Sanford, the man who captured these eerie haunts on camera. This episode of Haunts was written and produced by me, Courtney Hayes. If you've been enjoying the show so far, I would greatly appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review. A lot of work goes into each episode, and reviewing the show really helps us reach more listeners each week. Also, if you're interested in learning more about this week's topic, I greatly encourage you to check out the show notes section at hauntscast.com. This is the location where I share my sources and provide any visual aid that may be referenced during the show. While you're there, make sure to follow us on social media at HauntsCast, and don't forget to stick around to the end of the episode for this week's podcast recommendations. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, happy haunting.
As the moonlight pierces through the dark, paranormal enthusiast and best friends, Farrah and Courtney venture deep into the woods, armed with flashlights and a sense of adventure.
Farrah, are you sure this is a good idea?
Sure, I'm sure. We're paranormal investigators. We're not scared of any ghosts.
What was that?
Probably some animals. Oh my God. My flashlight is going out.
Following the chilling sounds, the two stumble upon an abandoned and haunted building, its dark silhouette looming over them.
Look, there it is. The abandoned radio station. It's supposed to be mad haunted.
Let's be careful. We don't know what's inside.
Wow, look at this place.
A long growl is heard coming from behind the girls. They turn around slowly, and to their surprise, a zombie is standing in front of them dressed to the nines, wearing a 70s bell-bottom hot pink and purple leisure suit.
Who are you pasty-looking females, and what the heck are you doing in here?
Who are you calling pasty? Nice suit. Did you raid Barry Manilow's wardrobe, or did John Travolta have a yard sale?
Sorry about that. We didn't mean any harm. We're just curious about this place.
Curious, huh? Well, come with me. I got something to show you.
And as they wander deeper into the building, they uncover vintage studio equipment covered in dust and decay.
Farrah, you were looking for a new place to set up your podcast, right?
And this is it?
Whoa, whoa there, sweet cheeks.
No, don't worry. We'll make it worth your while. We love the strange and unexplained phenomena, true crime, macabre, and the sinister. And hey, you'd be a great touch to the show. Maybe be an announcer for us as well.
That does sound stellar. I'm in.
A few minutes later, 12 seconds later, 3 weeks later, many months later.
Okay, we're rolling. Welcome to Studio Sinister Podcast,
where we explore stories that haunt us all.
And then we'll go make a fresh kill to celebrate.
Dawn.
Just kidding.
Join Farrah, Courtney, and Don the Zombie on the 1st, 10th, and 20th of every month for some rad, chilling stories.
And if you piss your pants, that's your problem.
Come embrace the haunt. See you soon, Sinister Seekers.
Hey, Paranormies, I'm Brittany.
And I'm Alexa.
And we're the hosts of They Don't Stay Dead.
We're a paranormal podcast from Australia, and we've made it our mission to share with you all the real-life ghost stories and haunted locations from our home, as well as encounters with supernatural beings and reports of unknown mysteries.
From haunted asylums and ghost ships to big cat cryptids and alien encounters, there's something for everyone. We release new episodes every Thursday, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to check out our Instagram at They Don't Stay Dead for weekly updates. We get a little bit spooky and a lot silly. So join us for some laughs and a tale of the unknown.
Stay spooky, paranormies.